Good morning, First Baptist Church. Pastor Jeremy here with you. This week has been one that has been filled with pain and anguish and grief, frustration, sorrow. And I could go on and on about some of the emotions that have filled you or me or our city this week. And however it is that you have entered this service this morning, from wherever it is that you have joined our live stream, I'm glad that you're here, because in times like this, in difficulty, sometimes we are prone to run away from the Lord, when in reality, the exact opposite is needed. We want to press into the Lord. And so thank you for joining us and for pressing in. If you're a guest with us this morning on our stream, I want to welcome you. In particular, if you are someone who does not claim a faith in Jesus, I'm glad that you're here. You might be wondering to yourself, does Christianity have anything to say to our city and to our lives in a time like this? And it does. And so I'm glad you're here. We're not a perfect church, and we don't have all the answers. We don't have all the wisdom or all the strength that we need, but we do believe in the hope of a message of a perfect God who came to meet the needs of a needy people. We do not worship a God who is far off and has distanced himself from his people when we suffer. We worship a God who, when he saw the sin and idolatry and the needs of his people, he came. He entered in. He took on human flesh in the person of Jesus. He lived among us. An innocent and perfect man died for the wickedness of the world. And the Bible says that in this, God can relate to us in every way, because in Jesus, he became human. He experienced temptation, hunger, and pain. He wept with his friends when their brother died. He sweat blood in the garden as his own impending death loomed. And as an innocent man, he suffered a sinner's death. We do not worship a God who is far off and who has kept himself distant from the suffering of his people. He entered into our suffering. He knows our pain. And in that, he gives us hope. He brings light into darkness. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once wrote, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." The scriptures say, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins." And so, does Christianity offer hope in these dark times? Yes, it does. And we can say that confidently. Yes, it does. God has brought light into our darkness, and he has brought love into our hate, and he gives the hope of God's kingdom breaking into this world. God has given us a language to speak in times like this. We call this lament. So it's a word that we use of some of the writings in the scriptures. We call it lament. The Bible is filled with passages of lament. And today, rather than have our typical order of service, ordinarily you'd see Alex welcoming you and greeting you. I'm starting us this morning because we're doing this a little bit different. We've invited some people from our church to come and help us. We're going to read four different psalms of lament and then lead us through a time of prayer. And so, we're glad that you're here to join us for that. We pray and hope that it's healing for you, that the Lord hears our prayers and brings peace to our city. And as we read scripture and we pray in response, we'll also sing together. And so two disclaimers for you this morning. The first, we're going to sing a few new songs that we feel like are appropriate for this moment. And so if you don't know the words, that's okay. You can either sit silently and allow the words of the songs to just wash over you, or feel the freedom to join in, even stumbling through the words at times as you sing in worship. Second disclaimer is that the nature of this time will be more sensitive. We'll try even to be sensitive to the fact that there might be kids watching, but if you're a parent and there are children with you, this might be a moment where you'd want to remove them if you so choose. So we want to make sure you know that up front. We're going to allow God's word to be our guide this morning in our prayers. And in particular, like I said, we've chosen four psalms of lament is what they're called. And so just briefly, psalms of lament have three key features to them. And I tell you this because as we read them, I want you to hear them. They are a guide for us in how we can pray in these times. They first all begin with a call to God, crying out to God. Often in the moments when God feels far away, then we hear the psalmist asking, God, where are you in all of this? And this might be a question you're asking this week. God, where are you? And God welcomes your call to him. And so even if you begin with simply saying, God, where are you? That's a good place to start. That's better than just walking away. The second part of a psalm of lament is when the psalmist shares why they're in lament. What is it? What's the occasion of their lament? Sometimes it's their own sin. Sometimes it is spiritual anguish. Sometimes it is the presence of injustice. And in our present days, there is much to lament. Now, the third part of the psalm of lament is a reminder of hope. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes it's right at the end. But the psalmist invites us to end in hope. And in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we always have a reason for hope, even in the darkest nights. And so today, as we begin, there are four reasons why I am lamenting. These will make us uncomfortable. They should in these times. I invite you to lament with me as we plead with God to restore peace and ask him to lead us toward hope. And so here's four reasons I'm lamenting. The first is the killing of George Floyd. Watching the 10-minute video of George begging for his life as an officer's knee is pressed upon his neck. This is a reason that we should lament and cry out to our God. A man was denied the dignity of his life, dignity given to him by his creator, a man created in God's image, and his life was stuffed out, and we lament the injustice that we have witnessed. Second, the racial discord that exists in our nation, and we see it on full display. George Floyd's killing has poured gasoline on tensions that have already existed for generations. And we must be willing to continue to confront the racial injustice that has and still exists in our country. I was on a Zoom call this week with well over 50 pastors, many of whom were black, and I heard in them a deep anguish for the people that they shepherd, a deep anguish, and a request to predominantly white churches to not be silent in times like this. And so I lament the racial discord and ongoing injustice in our country and the ways that even I am confronted for my complicity in its existence. Third, I lament the riots that are destroying our city and our community. Night after night, we have watched our skyline filled with flames and our ears with the sounds of sirens, and our nose with the smell of smoke, and our hearts with deep anguish. In response to the killing of George Floyd, the racial tension, it has boiled over, and we are witnessing it. I lament that low-income housing apartments have been burned to the ground, and chaos has taken hold. I lament that essential needs for people in need, like grocery stores and gas stations and pharmacies and housing, has been destroyed. One of the pharmacies that my wife, Megan, worked at early in her career is in shambles right now on Snelling Avenue in St. Paul. Restaurants and stores owned by immigrants are being looted and destroyed. I've watched as woke white folk sit in the comfort of their homes and commend the riots that are destroying the city. Meanwhile, I have watched and heard from black pastors and leaders in our community who desperately want the riots to stop, to cease, so that peaceful protests can be heard. Fourth, I lament that people who are quick to condemn the riots are slow to condemn the killing of George Floyd, and that those who are quick to condemn the killing of George Floyd have been slow to condemn the riots destroying our city. We do not need to choose only one. Neither is God's desire, neither promotes peace. I've even been hearing Dr. King's quote when he said, "A riot is the language of the unheard." Now, Dr. King, he was not using that phrase as justification for riots, but an assessment of them. And we should be confronted by his words. Dr. King did not support violent tactics, including riots. However, when riots emerge, we must be willing to acknowledge some of the root causes in our society. And so, here's his quote in full, in context. When delivering the speech, "The Other America," at Stanford University, here's the context of Dr. King's statement. He said, "I think America must see the riots, or see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn the riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. And what is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention. This is not justification for riots. That's not what Dr. King was saying. And as those who love the Lord and love justice, we can and should speak against both riots and the reasons they occur. We should speak out against riots and be just as quick to speak out against the social conditions, the racial inequity, which has caused people to feel that they need to riot in the first place. These are some of the reasons I lament this morning. And now I'm going to read the first of our Psalms of Lament, lead us in a time of prayer. As I said, there will be three other Psalms of Lament, and others who will lead us in prayer will sing in between each. And I just invite you in this moment to respond as the Lord is leading you, to be willing to be self-reflective and investigate your own heart, even in your discomfort at times. Be willing and humble enough to listen and to hear what God is speaking to you. Hear God's words of lament speak where you feel speechless, and hear God's words of hope speak where you feel hopeless. And so we begin with Psalm 10. It says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. In the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, 'There is no God.' His ways prosper at all times. Your judgments are on high, out of sight, out of his sight. As for all his foes, he puffs at them. He says in his heart, 'I shall not be moved. Throughout all generations, I shall not meet adversity.' His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. He sits in ambush in the villages. In hiding places, he murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. He lurks in ambush like a lion in his thicket. He lurks that he may seize the poor. He seizes the poor when he draws him into his net. The helpless are crushed, sink down, and fall by his might. He says in his heart, 'God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it.' Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, 'You will not call to account'? But you do see, for you note mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hands. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more." Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you. We come to you. And in this week, we ask with the psalmist, where are you in all of this? Where are you? Oh Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? We ask this for those who are asking this question, Lord, and need to hear from you. God, would you make yourself known? Would you make yourself seen? Would you bring peace where it feels like it's not present, where it's palpable? The injustice and the discord, would you bring peace? God, would you show up in that way? And would you show up through your church? Would we be an expression that you are here, that you are not far away. God, we lament that George Floyd, like the helpless in this psalm, was helpless, that he was crushed, that he sunk down and fell by another's might. God, we see in his helplessness, it mirrors the helplessness of the black and minority neighbors around us who feel that pain. And so, God, would you help us? Would you help us, before we confront another, to confront the reality in our own heart, that what we read about, the one who stands, who puffs their chest, who says there is no God, who at times just ignores you or wants to just go our own way, to get our own, to be selfish in our heart, we must confront that reality in our heart first. And so would you help us do that? Would you help us see the ways that we ourselves promote inequity, the way that we ourselves seek our own good to the detriment of others? Give us humility, give us grace to see those things and to confront them and to repent of them. God, we ask that you would lift up your hand, that you would not forget the afflicted, that you would not forget your people. Father, we pray, God, that you would bring sorrow into the heart of Derek Chauvin, that you would lead him to repentance. God, that you would bring justice to this situation, your justice. We all have ideas about what we think is just and right. God, would you bring our justice as a city and as humanity into accord with your justice? We want your justice. And God, in his own sorrow, shame, and the justice that would come to him, God, would you lead Derek to repentance? Would you show him the grace of your son? Would he see that forgiveness is for him too? We pray for all those in the police force, so many who want to do good. God, would you give them strength in this time to do good? And God, for those who have been a part of injustice, God, would you bring conviction to their hearts? Would you bring that conviction to us? Would you bring that conviction to our church and to our city? God, would we all see the ways that we've contributed to this at times? And would you lead us to repentance? Lead us to you. And so, Father, we thank you that Jesus has come and that there's a promise that your kingdom is breaking in now and will come fully in a time in the future. God, we know that you are King forever and ever. And so we ask, hear the desire of the afflicted. Would you strengthen our hearts and incline our ears to you, that we would do justice in this world and that you would do justice to the fatherless and to the oppressed? God, would you bring that about? And would we, your people, be agents of that change in this city? So comfort our hearts. Give us hope where we lack it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I am going to be reading to you today from Psalm 6. I also will be leading you in prayers and sharing with you some of my thoughts. Psalm 6. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my mourning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy words. Now I am going to share a few prayer points with you, and then we shall pray together after that. As I pray today, I do want to acknowledge the pain our city, especially my community, the Black community, is experiencing. I do want to ask God to be gracious to us, all of us, but especially the Black community. I also want to thank God that he hears our prayers of weeping, and that through Jesus Christ, he accepts our pleas and prayers. I would also pray or endeavor to pray that God will be quick to bring physical and spiritual justice to our community, that he will drive out the spiritual forces luring our hearts toward hate. And to borrow from Psalm 19, verse 14, I would include in my prayer that God would examine the words of our mouths and meditations of our hearts, and if anything shameful and troubling is there within us, that he will give us the grace to see it, feel the shame, and repent of it. And as many of you have seen, experiencing, outside, inside, behind the scenes and all that, we all have our judgments and all that. And Pastor Jeremy also mentioned that. We all have our views and perspectives and so forth. Let us be careful at this time and commit all of those to God and him only. So here is my prayer. Think about when you find yourself boxed in life. What do? You go to the Lord in prayer. And that's a good thing to do. And that's what I hope we are all doing. I am praying, Lord, and let us pray, I should say first. Our community, city, state, nation, and world is at crossroads. And we come before you today, this moment, looking and asking you, Lord, to redirect our minds, our thoughts, our deeds to you. Father Lord, please give rest to your people. As in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12 says, nor do we know what to do. We are all confused and don't know what to do. But our eyes, Lord, are upon you. Bring solution, your solution, and justice to the unnecessary taking of lives in the Black community, especially the life of George Floyd in our beloved Minneapolis. Our Lord and our God, we come boldly before your throne of grace today to thank you for showing us what love is like by loving us first. Heavenly Father, I plead with you to guide us in following the example of Jesus and live out all the facets of love in our day-to-day life in Jesus' most precious name. Help us to show love even when it is difficult to do so. And at this time, especially, help us to show love to all those police personnel who are involved. Help us to not judge, but to serve you. Help us, Lord, to know and accept that you are all we need. We in Minneapolis and beyond, black, brown, minority, majority, or whatever box we put ourselves, need you to help us not trust in ourselves by taking power into our hands, but to put our trust in you and to rely only on you. Our hearts are broken. Heal us. We are under captivity. Set us free. You made the lame walk and the blind to see. Open the eyes of our leaders first, that they too may trust in your authority and not theirs as they make decisions. Grant them wisdom as they decide ways to manage the raging storms and death ravaging our cities, our states, and our nation. Our awesome God and Father, we ask that you bring peace to the lives of the faithful departed, especially George Floyd. Comfort the family he left behind and all of us who are angry, frustrated, threatened, marginalized. Father, build our lives upon your rock today and beyond, such that no storm shall be able to sink or wreck your ship of progress. The Lord will perform his covenant of peace with us, no matter the challenges that is ravaging our communities. We shall find peace everywhere we go. Every battle that is going on within and outside shall hear the voice of the Lord, saying, "Peace, be still," in Jesus the Christ's holy name. Most of all, Lord, Proverbs 21:2 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." Lord, please channel the hearts of our leaders to do the right things, to bring justice to who justice is due. And please, Lord, heal our broken hearts and bring unity, respect, value to our lives. In your name I pray. Amen.
Psalm 86. Great is your steadfast love, a prayer of David. Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my life, for I am godly. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all the day. Gladden the soul of your servant, for to you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call upon you. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer. Listen to my plea for grace. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you, for you answer me. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours. All the nations you have made shall come and worship before you, O Lord, and shall glorify your name, for you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord, my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. O God, insolent men have risen up against me. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, and they do not set you before them. But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Turn to me and be gracious to me. Give your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Show me a sign of your favor, that those who hate me may see and be put to shame, because you, Lord, have helped and comforted me.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace, Father. We pray that you will hear our cries. We pray that you will hear our prayers. And Father, we just thank you for the rich way in which you've blessed us with your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we would have hope. For none of us, Father, are godly apart from you. But with your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, we have hope. Hope beyond any institution, Father, and hope beyond any ideal. And we thank you, Father, for the one day in which all nations will worship and glorify your name. And today, Father, we plead that our nation will glorify your name, that we would glorify your name not in what we print on our currency, Father, and not in what we sing in our anthems, but rather that we would glorify your name through seeking justice, love and mercy, and walking humbly, Father. We pray for your gracious help, that you would comfort our neighbors who have experienced racism. May your Spirit be poured out upon them, Father, and may you compel their hearts to call out to you, a God who listens and answers. We thank you, Father, that you are a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger and steadfast in love and faithfulness. We pray, Father, that you would help us to be more like you. And we also pray, Father, for our neighbors who have experienced more hate than love, that you would compel them to call out as the psalmist did, "Great is your steadfast love toward me, Father." We pray all these things in your precious and holy name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead with them in the procession of the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you. From the land of Jordan and of Hermon, and from Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Lord, you are powerful and good. You are sovereign over our city and know what today will bring. You are not surprised by sin. You are high above. The wickedness of the human heart is no surprise to you, and you are the only one who can save. You are patient with the lost and merciful to the needy. You hate wickedness. You love justice. You are a God to be feared, and yet you care for us like a mother cares for an infant. Speak tenderly to us, bind up the broken, and heal the wounds of the afflicted. The city is broken. Our neighbors are in pain. We need you. Sovereign Lord, we come to you aching. On a morning like this, where else can we go? We are wearied by months of isolation and loneliness. We are weary from the broadcasts of death and destruction. This morning, we wake up to fresh reminders of the brokenness of our world, to the depths of wickedness of the human heart. We ache with our neighbors and we cry for justice. Lord, be our comforter. Sovereign Lord, we come to you thirsty. Like a deer pants for the sweetness of a stream, so our soul thirsts for your living water. You are teaching us dependence, and we confess that we are needy. Our world is isolated, and our city is fractured. Where else can we go for help? Lord, quench our thirst. Sovereign Lord, we come to you grieving. Our tears flow, and there is no respite. Day and night, we are given new reasons to weep. We weep for George Floyd, who died at the hands of his oppressors. We cry angry tears for the lack of justice we have seen in our city. We cry with those who live in fear and trauma from the injustices of our system. We break with the hundreds of business owners who now unjustly bear the burden of the broken. Lord, hear our cry. Sovereign Lord, we come to you asking. Lord, you are all-knowing. Our sorrow tempts us to despair, so we will bring our questions before you, asking you for mercy. How long will our neighbors find inequity? How long will you allow the wickedness to prevail? How many nights must our black neighbors, our brothers and sisters, long for freedom from their oppression? How long until we can rejoice as one body, free from burdens of these questions? Lord, give us wisdom. Sovereign Lord, we come to you remembering. Even as we grieve, you remind us of your faithfulness through your word. We are not the first generation to ask these questions, and you have proven yourself to be the God of justice and mercy. In this season of lament, we cling to your faithfulness in your past. We remember times when you have saved us, restored our joy, and so graciously gave us a reason to sing. Lord, we remember your goodness. Sovereign Lord, we come to you thankful. Our burning city is a reminder of the injustice of mankind. For those of us who have hope, make the smoke become a reminder of your unfailing justice. The wicked do not have the final say, and death is not the end. We thank you that you are a God we can trust. At night you sing over us, and in the morning your steadfast love is new. Lord, thank you. Sovereign Lord, we come to you broken. We are broken and you are whole. Save the lost who in their pain wreak havoc on others. May their pain cause them to feel their need for you for true healing. We confess that we are the first offender. May we be slow to point fingers. Show us our own sin before we condemn the sin of our neighbor. Help our leaders, Governor Walz, Mayor Frey, Mayor Carter, and Chief Arredondo, to make wise, strategic, and discerning decisions. May they turn to you for strength in their weariness. Lord, we ask you to come back, to take away all the pain and the death and the crying. Save our city from the hatred, destruction, and death. Lord, we are broken, and we ask you to come. Sovereign Lord, we come to you hopeful. Though we are broken and mourning, we do not weep as those without hope. Like David, we remind our weary souls to hope in God. Sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You will save the poor and oppressed. You will destroy death and wickedness. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Even though we are broken today, and we will be broken tomorrow, we know that our hope is not in vain. Sovereign Lord, we hope in you. Amen.
First, that is a good prayer for today. It's a good prayer for tomorrow and the weeks to come. It's a good prayer for all of our life. Let me pray for you before we go. We're really, really thankful that you joined us here today, and we just hope that the Lord is beginning to do a work of healing, not only in your heart and in your mind, not only the wounds, but the sin, but also in our city, the same thing. So let's pray together, and then we'll close that way. Merciful God, Father, thank you for your word. So many of us have been speechless this week. Even though there has been so much noise, not only in the night in our city, not only on our social media feeds, God, but there's so much noise in our hearts and our minds, and we just thank you that you are so kind and you are so gracious and so merciful that you look upon us in our weakness, in our lack, and you say, I will give you words. I will give you words to say. I will give you words to search your heart. You've done that for us through these Psalms this morning. God, I pray that you, through your Spirit, would continue to search and to cut and to pierce us through bone and marrow right down to the Spirit, God, so that we may see our own brokenness, our own sin. But God, like so many have prayed this morning, that we would not feel the shame of those things without hope, but that Jesus, we would look to your cross. God, that through seeing your face, Jesus, we would be transformed from one degree to another, that we could be more like you, that we could be salt and light in the darkness of our city right now. Jesus, we just pray. We pray that you would use us as your people. We are so weak. We're so limited. We don't know hardly anything. We can't make sense of things, but you are sovereign, and you call us yours, and you call us a royal priesthood. So help us this week continue to go on behalf of others, to go to you, on behalf of our black neighbors, go to you to pray for mercy, to pray for healing and comfort, Lord, and would you help us to change in the ways that we need to. Jesus, we thank you that you perfect our prayers. We thank you that you take these to God for us, that you are our high priest today and tomorrow. And so help us, even when we feel like we don't have words, to continue to pray. We ask all this in your perfect name. Amen. First, thank you.